Today's message is a new way of looking at yourself. You know, friends, it's possible that you have done and said some things in the past that you regret. Perhaps maybe you abused somebody emotionally or verbally, and maybe you abused your own body with drugs and alcohol, whatever it might be. Maybe you abandoned your parents at some point in the past. Maybe you lived a lifestyle of gross sin. And maybe it was that phone call you should have made. Maybe it was that note you should have written to somebody who is now passed. And maybe you've got some regrets in your life. You know, like, I would have, I should have, I could have. We've all been there. Is that right? Would you agree? We all have some regrets in life. But friend, I'm here to tell you today that if you dwell on the past, the enemy of our souls, the devil, will keep you shackled in a prison of regret. Let me say it again. If you keep dwelling on your past mistakes, your past mess-ups, the devil will try to keep you shackled in a prison called regret, paralyzed so that you can't go forward, right? And I don't want to be there. How about you? I don't want to be shackled in a prison of regret. How about you? I want to go forward with my life. Is that making sense today? I'm going to read something to you from the speaker's quote book, and this is what it says. It says this. In the opening game of the 2001 football season, a mistake by the University of Colorado cost the team a chance to play for the national championship. When Coach Gary Barnett was asked about it, he said, "We don't think about it. I learned a long time ago, don't trip on something behind you. Don't trip on something behind you." In other words, don't dwell on a past mistake. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that if you keep looking backward, if you're trying to drive a car and you keep looking backwards, you're not going to go forward successfully, right? You might hit a tree, you might hit a curb, God forbid you might hit somebody. Let me say it again. If you keep looking backwards with your life, you're not going to be able to go forward successfully the way God wants you. You will not be able to fulfill the very thing God is wanting you to fulfill. So my word of encouragement to you today is forget the past. Let the past be in the past and start looking forward to the bright future that God has for you. Is that good news? Amen. How to look forward to your brighter future. How to look forward to your brighter future. If you got a Bible, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. If not, I'll read it to you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Now, this was written by Paul the Apostle. Philippians was written by Paul the Apostle. If anybody had reason for regret, who was it? It was Paul the Apostle, whose name previously was Saul. And if you read in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, you can find out that Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting Christians, by doing evil things to the followers of the way, to followers of Jesus Christ. And he writes this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. As you read Acts 9, though, you can see that Saul goes through a tremendous conversion experience. He finds Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and begins following Him. His life is turned around. His name is later turned or changed to Paul. So in Philippians chapter 3, we read this in verse 12. This is what he writes. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Verse 13, key verse. "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." What are the key words in Philippians 3:13? He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. If any man had reason for regret, if any man could have been imprisoned by the past, it was Paul the Apostle. But what does he say? He says, "I forget the things that are behind, and I look forward to the better thing that God has for me." And you might be thinking today, "Jonathan, you don't know where I come from. My past is so messed up. I've messed up in so many ways. I've stolen, I've cheated, I've lied, I've hurt people." And it's hard for me to forget the past. And friend, I'm here to tell you today, I know in our humanness, it's hard to forget the past. But when it becomes difficult to forget your past, and you can't do it, cry out to God. Say it with me today. Cry out to the Almighty God. And God, the God that we serve, is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He will give you His divine grace and strength to forget your past. Instead of dwelling on the past, start dwelling on the future, the good thing that God has for you. It's a shifting of your focus. If you're always looking backwards, you're focused on the past, you're never going to go forward. Start shifting that focus ahead of you. Is that making sense today? Now, just a kind of a cute illustration here from the same book. We all have some regrets about the past, and we try to forget our sins and mistakes. We feel a lot like the Peanuts comic strip character Linus, who said, maybe we should think only about today. Charlie Brown disagreed. No, that's giving up. I'm still hoping yesterday will get better. Charlie Brown has the wrong idea, right? We've got to forget about yesterday, right? We've got to start looking toward tomorrow. Say it with me today. I'm going to forget about yesterday, and I'm going to start looking toward tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. I received this thing on Facebook just recently. I thought it was awesome. It says, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Now listen to this, just real quick. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was depressed. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Say it again. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I'm here to tell you today, friends, from this little thing that I just read you, God does not use perfect people. In other words, God uses imperfect people like you and me. God has got a special plan and purpose for imperfect people like you and me. If in the Bible, from the Old to the New Testament, God used imperfect people to advance His kingdom, He can do the same today. Amen? He is a God who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why does God use imperfect people to advance His kingdom? So that no person gets the credit. So that God gets all the glory. So it's shown that it was all God and none of us. Is that making sense? You're imperfect. I'm imperfect. We've messed up. But those are the people that God uses. Is that good news today? So forgetting the past. How to look forward to your brighter future. Number one, forget your past. Say it with me today. I've got to forget my past by God's grace. Number two, you've got to start seeing yourself as God does. We touched on this last week. You've got to start seeing yourself as the Almighty God sees you. How does God see you? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you were clothed with a robe of righteousness. You were clothed with a robe of righteousness. So that when God saw you at the point that you accepted Jesus, He didn't see your past. It was in the sea of forgetfulness. When God looked at you, He saw Jesus. Is that making sense? Do you agree today? Philippians chapter 3. Let's read this. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. He says, I don't have a righteousness of my own by doing a bunch of things, but I have the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith in Christ. Let me say it again. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, when you decided on the inside that you would become a disciple of Christ, that you would follow Christ, guess what? The righteousness of Christ became your righteousness. All the sins and all the mistakes you made prior to that point were forgotten by God. They were cast into the sea of forgetfulness. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ is like a pencil eraser, right? You can write something on paper with a pencil, right? You can flip it over and erase what you wrote, right? So that it's not seen anymore. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is like. It washes away our sins. It blots away all of our sins. Hebrews 10, verse 10. A couple of more scriptures. Hebrews 10, 10. And the writer says this, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once, one time, and for all people of all generations. In the Old Testament, the priest would sacrifice animals. You can look at this in Leviticus chapter 16. The priest would sacrifice animals, but the shed blood of animals did not erase sin. It just atoned for sin. In other words, it just covered over sin for a year. You can look at this in Leviticus 16:34. "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites." So imperfect animals were slaughtered in the Old Testament. And the blood of those animals only covered over sin for a specific time. But Jesus Christ was and is the perfect Lamb of God who shed His spotless and priceless blood 2,000 years ago. Blood that didn't just cover over sins. Blood that completely erased all of our sins. Is that good news?
Amen.
So when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, all the sins, all the mess ups, all the mistakes, up until the point that you accepted Christ as Savior, all those mess ups were forgiven and forgotten by God. See, when God saw you at that point, He didn't see your sins. He didn't see your past. He saw Jesus, the spotless Lamb. He saw Jesus when He looked at you. And that's the way you've got to start seeing yourself. Romans 5:1, Paul writes. Romans 5:1, he says this. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The word justified is the same way of saying that we have been made righteous through faith in Christ. The word justified means the same thing as Christ's righteousness has become yours, that you were clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So by faith in Christ, we have been justified or made righteous. When you think of the word justified, think of this. Just as if I had never sinned. Say it with me. Just as if I had never sinned, in Jesus' name, amen. And friend, you may have accepted Jesus a week ago. Maybe you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord a month ago. Maybe a year ago. And maybe the devil is still trying to bring up all the sins you committed up until the point that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. What do you do at that point? You rebuke him in Jesus' name. Right? You rebuke him in Jesus' name and say, "Devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I was covered by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has erased, blotted out, washed away all the past sin." It's the devil who tries to whisper your past into your spiritual ear. Now, it's called the devil in the duck. You might have heard this before. It's a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play without in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hit the duck, dead duck, and he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen." Then she whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." She whispered again, "Remember the duck?" So Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you. Thought for the day and every day thereafter, whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, debt, fear, hatred, anger, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window and he saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and that you are forgiven. He's just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave of you. Is that good news? The devil knows that with Jesus Christ in our lives, we have authority. We have authority, and he has got to flee in Jesus' name. And he tries to bring up your past, but you tell him, you know what? I have authority in Jesus' name. I'm a follower of Christ. You have no entrance into my life, you old devil. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out. And he's got to flee at the spoken word of God and at the name of Jesus. That's good, right? That's good. You know, the devil knows that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, he knows that your past was forgotten and forgiven by God. He knows it. But he's still trying to torment you with your past. He knows that your past was forgiven. He knows that it was forgotten by God. And you've got to know it just as well and even better than him. So whenever guilt and condemnation comes up in your mind or in your spirit, know that it's been put there by the devil. You tell them, old devil, the word of God says there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Say it with me today. There is therefore no condemnation to those, to me, who am in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. There's power in the spoken, written word of God. You've got authority when you speak the word of God. And the one thing that the devil hates a lot is the word of God. You can read it in Matthew 4 when he tempted Jesus 3 times. Every time Jesus quoted the written word of God from Deuteronomy, and it said, then the devil fled from Jesus. When you got the written word of God on your tongue, let me tell you, you have got authority. You've got authority, and the devil knows it. You speak that word. You've got to have that word on the inside of you. Is that making sense? You need that word to come up from the inside of you when you need it, so you need to study the word of God. You know, you see what I'm saying? So when the devil is attacking you in your mind, in your spirit, you can't go to a Bible and start flipping through the pages. It's got to be part of your spirit. Is that making sense?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right? You've got to have the word of God stored up by reading it, meditating it, and memorizing it, not just once a year or once every 6 months, but on a consistent basis in Jesus' name. Amen? We have authority in Christ. We have authority with the word of God. And the devil knows that we have that authority, but he still tries to play with you and bring up your past and tell him, no, I'm a man of authority. You know, when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. But still, he tries to play with you every so often, right? So start forgetting the past, right? Start seeing yourself as God sees you, as justified, just as if I had never sinned, and have the word of God on the inside of you. So when the devil tries to put a guilt trip on you, you just quote the written word of God. Is that making sense? All right. You might have stolen in the past, or maybe you're looking for a job at Walmart, wherever it might be, and the devil tries to whisper to you, remember when you stole in the past? You won't be able to get a job there. And you tell him, you old devil, I am justified just as if I had never stolen. I am going forward with my life. I'm applying for this job, and I'm going to get it in Jesus' name. Maybe you want to come into a marital relationship with somebody, and the devil whispers to you, remember how you abused that lady in the past? You won't be able to get married. You say back to him, you quote the word of God, you quote what's on the inside, and you say, no, I'm justified just as if I had never abused that person. I'm going forward in this area of my life. You just quote the word of God that you are justified in Jesus' name. Is that making sense? Is that making sense today? God has got a special plan. He's got something, a divine destiny, an end for your life. Don't let the devil stop you. Now, just one final note here, that all the sins that you committed up until the point that you accepted Jesus were forgiven and forgotten by God. After you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've got to start doing something with your life. You've got to walk the walk of righteousness. You've got to live a holy life with God's grace. Some people have this idea that, you know what, the righteousness of Christ covers all my past and future sins. If you think that way about your future sins, then it kind of makes a person think that they can live the way they want to live. Yes, the righteousness of Christ covers all of the past sins that you committed up until the point of accepting Christ. But after you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you've got to start walking the walk of righteousness with God's grace. You've got to live a holy life. You've got to make an effort, as the Word of God says in Hebrews 12, to live a holy life. Is that making sense today?